What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Fireside Giants. I'm your host, Anthony Rovardo, and today I want to talk about this New York Giants secondary. Now, the Giants secondary, I mean, they poured a ton of assets into it this offseason, signing Javon Holland, signing Paulson Adebo. Of course, last offseason poured more assets into it with Drew Phillips in the third round, Tyler Newbin in the second round. The Giants have invested heavily in the secondary. I mentioned all of those moves and didn't even mention in 2023, they spent their first round draft pick on Deontay Banks. But at the end of the day, how is the secondary looking on paper? Is it a good unit? Is it a bad unit? Is it totally cooked like PFF maybe perhaps suggested? I want to react to this article from Pro Football Focus that was published yesterday or this morning, sometime recently, where they ranked all 32 of the NFL's secondaries, and the Giants came in near the bottom. They ranked 24th in the NFL in the secondary ranking, and I want to talk about that and discuss why this Giants team is probably rightfully ranked on the lower half and towards the bottom of this list, but also why they're going to be a lot better this season and improve up those rankings by year's end. So that's going to be the main topic of discussion in today's episode. Just going to go through the secondary and honestly offer reasons for optimism, talk about why I think this unit is going to be a lot better. But at the same time, I do want to address some of the concerns that I have with this Giants defensive backfield, because even though they have invested all of those assets into it, they've poured assets into it, they've added a lot of talent, but there are still reasons for concern and there are still weak points in this Giants defensive backfield. So I want to go ahead and start first and foremost at the back of this unit and then work my way to the front, talking about the safeties first before we dive into the cornerbacks and the slot cornerback position. Now, this season, the Giants added a major talent at safety with Javon Holland, who formerly was with the Miami Dolphins. Now, I think that this signing is one of the better signings that the Giants made this offseason when you consider the price tag and you consider the potential impact. Holland has been definitely an above average, one of the best safeties in the NFL at times during his career with the Miami Dolphins, coming off of a down year in 2024. But realistically, you could say that for every Miami Dolphins player. They had a severe regression last season as the team dealt with a lot of injuries and some uncertainties in the coaching staff, and just overall a down year, like I said, for the Miami Dolphins. And that's no different for Javon Holland. But that actually works in the Giants' benefit, because had he had another strong performance last season, his price tag wouldn't have been in range for the Giants. The Giants signed him to a deal worth about $15 million per season. And honestly, for the talent that Holland possesses when he is fully healthy and playing at the top of his game, that's a pretty good value deal right there for a starting safety of that caliber. So Holland is joining Tyler Newbin on the back end here. And why I think it's such an impactful signing is because it opens things up in the Giants defense to play a little bit less of a position defense. And what I mean by that is a positionless kind of safety backing. Javon Holland has the ability to play as a deep safety, but also has a lot of experience getting in the box and making plays as a strong safety. He's got a nose for the football. He's forced a lot of fumbles in his career. He has plenty of tackles for loss. He has a lot of tackles just within the box. He's good in run defense, is essentially my point. But at the same time, he's one of the better coverage safeties in the NFL. According to PFF, I think he has the highest coverage grade or top three coverage grade among all safeties over the last three seasons. It's somewhere in the 90s. So a really good coverage safety who does have the ability to line up closer to the line of scrimmage when needed. And then you look at Tyler Newbin and what the Giants had from him last year. Coming out of Minnesota, there were some concerns about Tyler Newbin's athleticism. He played that ball hockey, free safety, rangy role for Minnesota's defense, actually is the all-time leader in career interceptions in Minnesota. So definitely you get that statistic by playing free safety, and he definitely has the ability to make plays on the football in a coverage standpoint. But last year, I do think some of those limitations that were expected of his athleticism showed up a bit, which is why the Giants saw better returns on Tyler Newbin while he played in the box. When he was aligned deep as that free safety, ranging on the back end of the field, I think there were some moments where the limited athleticism came into play and where he wasn't quite able to take the proper angle to make a tackle or get in position to break up a pass deep downfield. And I think that what the Giants want out of Javon Holland is for him to play that role, play that free safety role, get back there and make those rangy plays in the deep coverage portions of the field. Meanwhile, that opens things up where Tyler Newbin can play more in the box. And I think of the two areas where he played better last season, it was the box. Tyler Newbin had some very impressive plays down near at the line of scrimmage, particularly in run defense. There were a couple instances where he blew up blockers, and I'm talking coming up to the line of scrimmage and just blowing up a guard or a tackle, getting in their face and wiping them on their ass and making the play to tackle the running back for a loss or right near the line of scrimmage. Those kind of plays are really valuable to have from the safety spot, but you can't really have your best safety making those plays all the time without a competent second safety behind him ranging on the back end. Otherwise, you can get exposed to deep shots. But now that the Giants have two safeties that both have the ability to get in the box and also can each play on the back end, that allows them to be very positionless in their defense, like I said. And that's important because you can disguise your coverages and you can play a much more complex defense. Last season, Shane Bowen received a lot of criticism for running a very simplistic and vanilla scheme defense. But to his, to kind of help him out here and give him some excuse if there is going to be one, the secondary didn't have a ton of talent. And as a result, I don't think he felt comfortable running a more complex scheme and doing any extravagant blitzes or doing many disguised coverages because the Giants secondary just didn't really have the talent necessary to pull that off. And so I think this year having two safeties who can both be pretty versatile in the way that they play will allow him to open up his playbook a bit and utilize some more complex and disguised coverages. So Javon Holland, once again, being such a good coverage safety, can handle the back end. And Tyler Newbin really flashed a lot as a box safety last season. So I think he's going to end up being that strong safety role. He's going to move around and you're going to have Javon Holland play more on the back end. But both of these players have the ability to do either one of those things, can play either role. And I think that's really important and valuable for a defense that needs to be a little bit more complex in their coverage this upcoming season and not run such a vanilla scheme that defense or that opposing offenses can pick apart. And the third player that I'm going to add to the mix here before we move on to these cornerbacks is Dane Belton. He was arguably, and I think most people would argue, the standout of OTAs and mandatory minicamp. He racked up interception after interception, pass breakup after pass breakup, and earned some playing time with the ones based on his strong performance throughout those practices. Granted, those are OTA practices. They are non-padded practices. The lack of physicality needs to be acknowledged. And you have to also acknowledge that the pads don't come on until later this month. Even into August is when they really start to intensify those practices. That's when we'll get a better sense of where Dane Belton is at. But so far, it looks like he's ready to take a step forward this season. He just has two starters pretty much locked in the depth chart ahead of him. So I think instead of looking at that as a detriment to Dane Belton, I think that we can look at that in a positive light and say that the Giants, once again, can be more complex with their defense, can get more defensive backs on the field, and be comfortable knowing that they have depth in the secondary now. Dane Belton taking these strides and looking this solid in these spring practices, if he can maintain that through the summer, continue to play at such a high level during the training camp and preseason period of this offseason, I think that we could see the Giants defense run a lot more nickel, run a lot more dime packages, and get as many defensive backs on the field as they want, while also taking some of the big hog mollies off the field on the trenches and just throwing a bunch of pure pass rushers out there. And that should hopefully help the Giants get after the quarterback at an even higher efficiency rate. So I think that Dane Belton can be a sneaky, valuable kind of depth piece to this defense that doesn't play at a starting capacity, but he played a career-high 42% of defensive snaps last season, which isn't a ton, yet he still forced turnovers. In fact, he's forced 9 turnovers in his career, despite only having a career-high of 42% of snaps played in a single season. So this is a guy with a nose for the football. He knows how to not only recover fumbles, force fumbles, but also grab interceptions and make pass breakups. Just always is around the football. And I think that's what you want from your secondary pieces, particularly your depth pieces in the secondary. Making plays on the football is of the utmost importance. We're going to talk about that in just a second here with Deontay Banks and how that's been a struggle for him. But for guys like Javon Holland, who has forced a bunch of turnovers and made a bunch of pass breakups in the past. Tyler Newbin didn't get any interceptions last season, but still had some plays where he was on the football and created some moments of havoc And then Dane Belton, once again, whenever he is on the field, seems to make plays on the ball and really wants to get more playing time. And I think that he's absolutely earned it through the first few seasons of his career. Now, keep in mind, he is also entering a contract year, so he has even more incentive to get on the field and play some good football. So really like Dane Belton and really like this trio of safeties. I talked about it initially as it being a very solid duo with Javon Holland joining Tyler Newbin here, but I do think it's more of a trio because of that crucial third depth piece here at the safety spot, which is Dane Belton. So I feel really positively about the safety spot, but what I will say is all three of those guys, or at least the top two guys, I can't really remember for Belton. I think he's been injured in the past, but Javon Holland is coming off of a season where he was a little bit banged up, and Tyler Newbin did have a season-ending injury last year. I do think there are some injury concerns in that safety group, and I also think that what that safety group is able to do depends largely on Shane Bowen. I mentioned that it's very valuable to have two versatile safeties back there, two guys who can kind of play either position and move around the defense and do a lot of things for you, but you don't really see the impact and effect of that if your defensive coordinator isn't game planning to utilize those skills and those traits in those safeties. So it's going to come down to Shane Bowen. I think that's going to be said for the defensive line, for the secondary as well, but Shane Bowen is only going to see the returns on the secondary investment that Joe Shane has made if he's able to scheme together a defense that maximizes their skill set. So we'll see how big of an impact those players are able to have, but I do think the potential for big impact from the safety spot is evident. But moving over to the cornerback position, I'll actually start on the inside, and talk about Drew Phillips, who I think is a rising star, low-key, for this Giants defense. Last year, he was already graded as a top 10 rookie in the NFL. He was graded as a top 15 cornerback in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus. And this is a player who just couldn't stop making plays, similar to how Dane Belton was on the football all throughout spring practices and has many times throughout his NFL career. During the regular season last year, Drew Phillips was constantly on the ball. He had an interception. He forced fumbles. He made plenty of tackles for loss. He had sacks. I mean, he was honestly a weapon in this Giants defense, and a Swiss Army knife kind of weapon too, where he would get into the box and make plays and tackles for loss. He would play deep coverage and man, and he would get into the zone and make some tackles in the flat. Pretty much everything that you needed Drew Phillips to do, he was doing it at an exceptional level and truly proving to be an elite slot cornerback as a rookie. Now entering year two with even more experience, hopefully a little bit healthier. He did have some moments last year where he was banged up. If he can stay healthy throughout this season and play in a secondary with a little bit more talent around him, I think we could see something really special from Drew Phillips in the second season of his career. I think it's very important to acknowledge that last year, the Giants secondary wasn't completely strong. They didn't have a ton of talent out there, particularly at those outside cornerback positions. There were a lot of struggles, and I think that did put pressure at times on Drew Phillips to be a little bit better than he was capable of as a rookie. But nevertheless, he came up to the plate and he had some home runs. And so I'm really excited about Drew Phillips, and I have no complaints there about the slot cornerback position. I think that Phillips is truly a budding star in this league. Now, behind him, I do think that the Giants could afford to find some more depth at the slot cornerback position. It was a position of major weakness prior to last season with Drew Phillips stepping in and making an impact as a rookie. And I still think that the depth there could be improved, but you do have Cordell Flott, who has some experience playing both in the nickel and outside. And speaking on Cordell Flott, the Giants do have a little bit of a position battle going on here at CB2 with Cordell Flott and Deontay Banks. I think that this is going to be a make or break year for Deontay Banks. And I think that's almost in some ways unfair to say because it's only his third season. The Giants had a defensive coordinator change for him going into the second season of his career. And you know what? They did invest a first round pick into him. So it's kind of unfair to call this a make or break year. But the reason why I think it is a make or break year is because there were so many questions last season about Deontay Banks' effort. And so this season, at the very least, we need to see him hustle and put that effort in and make those extra effort plays. Otherwise, I think it's a break. Even if he's not playing elite, exceptional, or even good football, I think if the effort is there, we'll give him a lot of passes. But because of last season and the questions of his effort last season, if he's not playing at a high level, the microscope is already on him, and those effort plays are going to be called into question once again. So this is a very important season for Deontay Banks. I think that this is one that will ultimately decide his future, and I think that there are a lot of reasons to believe that he's trending in the right direction after a strong spring of practices, and after the Giants invested assets into the secondary to help him out. Again, the investments that they made into the defensive line. We'll see if Shane Bowen can maximize this unit with, of course, Burns, Thibodeau, and Abdul Carter. If he can get that pass rush ranked up and, you know, playing at a high level, the secondary will benefit. And I think that Shane Bowen, again, the onus is on him to actually maximize those talents and get them all on the field at the same time and to maximize their snap count and create a good distribution there. And having a good pass rush is going to help a guy like Deontay Banks, who has at times struggled in coverage with his back to the football. But I think there's also an aspect to it. Let's make sure that his back isn't to the football as much. If that's been his biggest struggle, getting his head turned around and making plays in man coverage, maybe run a little bit more zone coverage and find different ways to take pressure off of Deontay Banks' shoulders. I think that's something that's going to be crucial this season. But ultimately, the number one way that the Giants are taking pressure off of Deontay Banks' shoulders is by signing Paulson and Debo to be their CB1. But this is where I'll start to talk about some of these concerns for the secondary. I kind of alluded to some for the safety spot, but my concerns largely lie within the cornerback room, because when you look at this defense on paper, there is no reason why this shouldn't be a top 10 defense in the NFL. They have a top three defensive tackle in the NFL with Dexter Lawrence, number one in my mind. They have an edge rushing trio that goes toe-to-toe with any edge rushing duo, let alone trio in the league. It should be one of the best if Abdul Carter is the elite talent that we do expect him to be. Brian Burns is already a Pro Bowler. Kayvon Thibodeau has gone for double-digit sacks before. It's a hell of a trio right there. The linebacker group also has Bobby Okereke, who has top 10 linebacker potential, has been that in seasons past. They also have Micah McFadden, who's a bit of a rising starter, a star in this league in some ways. And the safety spot, again, they added Javon Holland, Tyler Newbin, flashed a lot of potential. The real question mark here is the uncertainty at cornerback. They signed Paulson Adebo to a contract worth, I believe, around $17 million per season. And I like the deal and I like the player, but we also do need to acknowledge they signed him to be a CB1 based on projection. Never before has he been a CB1. Paulson Adebo had a couple of brief weeks as a CB1 last year for the New Orleans Saints after they traded away Marshon Lattimore. However, he then almost immediately broke his leg and missed the rest of the regular season. He's never been asked to handle those responsibilities. Last year, the Giants said, hey, Deontay Banks really flashed something as the CB2 in his rookie year. Now let's ask him to be the CB1, put a little bit more on his plate and see how he handles it. They're essentially doing the same thing once again with Paulson Adebo. Now, I do think that Paulson Adebo has more experience, has played at a higher level throughout his career, has great ball skills as well, which I think is a major positive. And so I think that he projects well to take that step forward as a CB1, but we do need to acknowledge he has not been a CB1 before, and this is based on projection. And if there is a weakness in the secondary, and if there is a fault that the Giants have made in constructing this defense, it's going to be based on projection at cornerback rather than established and experienced talent at the position. So I also think Deontay Banks projects well as a CB2. I think that he could take a step forward moving back into that role. You know, I think, again, Paulson Adebo takes pressure off his shoulders. Deontay Banks doesn't have to worry about facing the A.J. Brown, CeeDee Lambs, Tyreek Hills, and, you know, Justin Jeffersons of the world every single week. But wide receiver twos in this league are all really talented as well, and so he does have to manage that. Meanwhile, though, we will see Paulson Adebo, of course, play that CB1 role. And again, I think he can handle it. And the main difference between the strengths of these two players, the biggest weakness for Deontay Banks, ball skills. The biggest strength for Paulson Adebo, ball skills. Both of them can be over-aggressive at times. That's a weakness for each of them. But I do think that the aggression tends to pay off more often than not for Adebo, whereas Banks and his ball skills being a struggle, it doesn't pay off as well for him. But again, Paulson Adebo, nobody had more pass breakups over the last two seasons and forced incompletions plus interceptions than Paulson Adebo, according to PFF. And I think that's a really valuable trait for a cornerback. And I think that's the exact trait that the Giants were looking for in their CB1. A guy who, when the ball is thrown up there 50-50, well, they're not so 50-50. Maybe they're more 60-40. He's got a better chance of breaking up the ball and getting his head turned around and getting his hands on the football and forcing turnovers. Paulson Adebo is really good at that. But again, I do have concerns here with Deontay Banks, especially considering he is battling it out with Cordell Flott at that CB2 spot. During the spring, not due to any injuries or anything of those sorts, the Giants were rotating Cordell Flott in at CB2 just because they want to give him an extended look in case Deontay Banks does not take that step forward this season. In case, hey, what if there are effort problems once again this season? Cordell Flott actually flashed some pretty solid talent down the stretch of last season, easily played his best football, and that was a result of moving him back to the outside. When the Giants drafted Cordell Flott, they viewed him because of his wiry frame and his undersized stature, they viewed him as a slot cornerback, so they shoehorned him into that role. But hey, newsflash, they were once again playing somebody out of position. He didn't have much experience, if any, at all playing slot cornerback at LSU. He was an outside guy, and making that transition to the inside was a major struggle for Cordell Flagg. Last season, they moved him back outside full-time, and what do you know? He played the best football of his professional career so far. So Cordell Flagg now, obviously, an outside cornerback, and now competing with Deontay Banks to be one of the Giants' starting outside cornerbacks. I think that gets sorted out throughout training camp and the preseason. I think ultimately, as a former first-round pick and as a guy with tremendous athleticism and talent, Deontay Banks could, should, and will win that starting job as CB2, but I think he's got a short leash. And I do think that Cordell Flagg flashed enough down the stretch of last season and throughout this spring to say, hey, I deserve this opportunity. And if I perform better in the summer, I should be the starter week one versus the Washington Commanders. So that's the number one position battle that I'm keeping an eye on this summer. I think that's going to be the most interesting, is Deontay Banks versus Cordell Flagg and that CB2 role. But ultimately speaking, looking at the secondary, there are so many reasons for improvement. They upgraded at CB1. They've got a guy with ball skills now in Paulson Adebo, who projection wise could be a really great player. I think the defensive line is a major component when talking about the secondary, because that pass rush is really going to help out these cornerbacks. They don't have to cover for as long, especially when the Giants defense is in man coverage. You know, speeding up the internal clock of the quarterback by 1 second really makes a difference in terms of the coverage time required by the secondary. I think the safety room is so totally improved, but really it all comes down to this cornerback duo. Can they hold their weight? Can they actually perform at a high level this season? And I think a lot of that really does rely on Deontay Banks and whether or not he takes that step forward. Now, you guys know I'm like the biggest Deontay Banks fan. He's who I wanted the Giants to draft in 2023. I was elated when they did land him with the 24th, I believe, overall pick in that year's draft. Really like Deontay Banks and everything that he provides to this defense when he's playing at a high level, but we just haven't seen him do that consistently enough. He's very athletic. He's very physical. He's very aggressive. Now he just needs to get those ball skills down, but hopefully playing alongside Paulson Adebo, he'll be able to master that skill, because Paulson Adebo seemingly has. So once again, there are some cause for concerns for the secondary, but is it cooked? No, absolutely not. They ranked 24th according to Pro Football Focus, as I said at the start of the show, but I really do believe that they can rank in the top 15 and maybe even the top 10 by season's end, based on some of the projections here, which is Paulson Adebo projecting into that CB1 role and hopefully improving and playing his best season. And then that will have a trickle-down effect where hopefully Deontay Banks plays his best season. And of course, Javon Holland pairing with Tyler Newbin, while also having a budding star at the slot cornerback position in Drew Phillips. There is a lot of young talent in the secondary. It's just all unproven. And now we need it to kind of all click and gel together and take that step forward this season. And maybe we do end up with a top 10 to 15 secondary in the NFL. But for now, there are reasons for concerns. And so I did kind of want to spell those out and discuss some of the reasons why I'm excited for the secondary, and also some of the reasons why I do think there could be some struggles this season. But ultimately, as I say all the time about this defense, there's enough talent on paper for it to be top 10. It's just going to come down to coaching and game planning from Shane Bowen. Can he put these guys in position to succeed, not play them out of position, and actually maximize the talent that they possess? That's going to be what's interesting to follow. And of course, like I said, training camp only a couple weeks away, right around the corner. We've got plenty of breakdowns coming, talking about the secondary, talking about the CB2 position battle and everything else in between right here on Fireside Giants. So make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. Ring the bell so you don't miss an episode. Comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you're listening to Apple or Spotify, make sure to leave us a 5-star review. Go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, I'll catch you on the next one. Have a good one. And let's go New York Giants.